Good evening, sir. Welcome.
Good afternoon, and it's great to meet you, Cheryl.
It is, finally. We had some fun the other morning on the Tony Conley Show. He thought he pulled one over on me when he called with you sitting here, sir.
It was his idea.
It was, but you seemed like you went along with it.
Reluctantly.
Yeah, well, it was fun, and I'm thrilled that you're here. We tried to get together on Friday, and I knew it wouldn't be enough time to really chat with you, so I'm thrilled to have you here after the holiday weekend. Did you have a good one?
We had a good weekend. We spent a lot of time up in Elma. They had the Highland Festival
on Saturday.
And it's amazing how many people they can get up in Gratiot County.
They all come in for that
Alumni from around the country come back for that, and it's a really great event.
And some other memorial events throughout your district as well that you attended.
Yes, memorial for in DeWitt Monday morning, and then also in St. John's in the evening.
Oh, they're great events. I'm a big sucker for pomp and ceremony and military, so it's an important weekend as well. Wanted to get together with you. There's so many things on the table right now. Of course, the budget is still the talk, it getting done in historic fashion, really.
Actually, in terms sooner than many legislators did before we had term limits. It's been over 30 years since we've had a budget done before June 1st.
And this is important. You and I had a few minutes to talk as you came in this evening. This is important for so many reasons. It wasn't just a rush to get the budget done. This was Governor Snyder's plan was to do this. And I was guessing there were a lot of naysayers that said this could never happen. We'll never get there.
There were a lot of naysayers. A lot of the lobbyists, a lot of the reporters, I think, here in Lansing who cover it said it would never happen. And it wasn't a rush. It should have been done in this time frame. And we did talk about it. In the House, we had well over 130 committee meetings and subcommittee meetings talking about each of the individual budgets, having hearings, looking at different amendments, and walking through that process. The Senate did the same thing. It's really a huge benefit, and who was asking us to do this were school systems and local units of government that have to have their budgets in place by July 1st.
This takes away that guessing game for school districts, per se. Let's talk about that. I mean, it takes that out of the equation. They now know exactly what they're going to have to work with.
And I couldn't defend it. It was very frustrating. My first four budgets I worked with in Lansing, when we didn't get done until October 1st, and school superintendents and mayors in the various cities in my district said, Paul, I don't know what you're giving me and how you're helping me out, but yet I have to have my budget in place and start spending money, and you won't give me that information until my budget is literally 25% through. It really put them behind the eight ball and had them make some very difficult decisions. One way to look at that was Mayor Virge Monaro here in Lansing with a deficit already. And if he didn't find out how much he had in revenue sharing until October 1st, it would have made a very, very tough situation even worse.
Well, and we're seeing with school districts already the holes that they're in. And it's not just Lansing. They're all across the state certainly are having some serious problems. So being able to know ahead of time exactly what they have instead of guessing it sure makes the job easier for them in a very difficult time.
Well, and just like any business owner, I think what they'll tell you is a known is so much better than an unknown. They want consistency. They want stability in the money market or in the state economy so that they can better plan. And there's enough for a business owner and for a school superintendent, enough unknowns that makes their job very difficult, that us making it even more difficult is really unacceptable.
And the budget as it's proposed and as it's heading for the governor's desk now for signature, are you pleased for the most part with the direction it's going?
Extremely. It doesn't have any one-time fixes. We're not borrowing from this fund to transfer money over to this fund to try to balance it. There's no one-time gimmicks. It's a structurally balanced budget, which the state really has not had for the past 4 or 5 years.
And how does that change things for us? When you say extremely, I can hear people, you know, at the other side going, what are you not? Look what's happening here. You know,
Cheryl, I would look at it just as with your own house. You've been living on your credit cards for the past 5 years, getting more and more frustrated as the interest rates pile up. The principal that you've borrowed on your credit cards have piled up. We have borrowed money, and we didn't borrow it. It was given to us, stimulus money from Uncle Sam to get out of this. That's like somebody, okay, Cheryl, you can't make your house payment. I'll make it for you. But at some point, We have to get our financial act together. A good example of that is the governor next week will be going to New York, talking to the bond markets, trying to get a AAA bond rating so that we can begin to save money and borrow money at a cheaper rate. School systems can take advantage of that. Cities can take advantage of that, helping everybody run a more fiscally sound operation so that we look better and other businesses then want to come to Michigan and begin creating jobs here.
Well, the K through 12 budget has gotten so much attention, rallies, I mean, all of it. Do you feel that is on the right track as well, that the money is going where it needs to be to the students?
Absolutely. Part of what the governor wants to do and what he's trying to do with some of the incentives that he built into that budget was to get more of the money to the students, but also to look at and have schools begin to really look at their budgets to become more efficient. I did have a call from a school board president in my district when I was on the House floor who literally said, Paul, thank you for doing this. You're forcing us to look at our budget. We would not have done this otherwise. And look for real efficiencies and look for money that we're spending that we don't have to spend in that direction and we can refocus it. The overall cut for schools is basically 1.4%. Cheryl, and I think any church, any nonprofit, any business, any state agency should be able to look for cuts of approximately 1.4%.
Then why the hue and cry from the other side?
Historically, and the governor has talked about this, and I think he's right, the only argument that we would ever hear from schools when it came to the budget, and I think it's a tradition here in Michigan, is they would come and say more money. And that was the end of the discussion. Nobody said, what do I get for the money? What are the academic successes I'm seeing for the money, or where is the money going? And so we're starting to ask those questions. And that's a change. That's a cultural change for schools to step back and say, oh, you want to know how we're spending your money.
So there's now some answering, too.
We're asking for answers. We're asking for accountability.
And that's heading in the right direction in your mind.
For everybody, and I think for taxpayers especially.
A week ago, I had former governor and ambassador to Canada, Jim Blanchard, on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking, and he was very, very complimentary toward Governor Snyder in saying he's making hard decisions and unpopular decisions now for the long term. Would you agree with that assessment?
I agree with that, and part of my frustration and almost embarrassment my first 4 years here is our previous governor, I don't think, wanted to make those hard decisions. There was an easy out, and that was stimulus money. And so we never made those decisions. And we have to make those decisions if Michigan is going to get better. If schools are going to be a priority and continue to be a top priority, we need to make those decisions now.
And you believe we're making them the right way?
I think we are, yes.
And nobody likes change. We know that.
Nobody likes change, and nobody likes to cut. That's the more difficult thing. I was unhappy with the size of the cut for higher education. Mm-hmm. I have really developed a huge respect for President Luana Simon at Michigan State University, seeing what Michigan State does and what it brings to the entire state of Michigan. They're doing some great things there. You know, and I'll be lobbying the governor and I think our caucus next year as things begin to turn around to really help Michigan State and U of M and the other universities in the state of Michigan.
Well, and I hate to change the subject, but we're going to run out of time. And I wanted to get to, you're heading tomorrow to the Mackinac Conference.
Yes, tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow afternoon. What do we expect to hear and have happen there? I know it's a lot of great events going on at the Grand Hotel. What actually happens that's working there?
I think we'll look at a lot of things. One, the governor may be making a big pitch for the Drick Bridge from Detroit to Windsor, and he'll be explaining, I think, why he feels that is good. That'll be a challenge, I hope, for myself because I chair the Transportation Committee in the House. A lot of information will be coming out of the Big Four or the Big Five out of the greater Detroit area, the Oakland County, Macomb County, Washtenaw County.
And it turned into
Detroit,
five this year.
Yeah, City of Detroit Mayor and Wayne County, Bob Ficano, talking about how they're trying to work together and maybe merge services. We could talk someday about the Urban Cooperation Act and how Detroit and Oakland County, Detroit and Wayne County need to perhaps merge buses.
Absolutely. Well, can we talk just for a minute? Can we kind of preview and tease the
Urban Cooperation Act was passed in the House in 1968. We just in the House about 4 weeks ago took out all of the mandates in that bill and allowed local units of government with their union through collective bargaining to continue working together at the bargaining table if units of government wanted to combine services. That's over in the Senate, and we're hoping to get that moving hopefully in June.
So that's a big move already to have it in the Senate.
Yes.
So we're on our way. Well, we look forward to information coming out of the Mackinac Center of the conference heading on up there. I know you're going to be on Tony's show up there because he starts on there tomorrow morning.
And you had a clock here. Where is that?
Yeah, I've got – thank you for bringing
that
up.
I'll get that back for you. Did he
take
that?
He took the printer and my clock. Thankfully, Brittany's in my ear telling me what the timing is. But, oh, my, I feel like I'm hobbled here without my clock. I know you made a note for him, and you're gonna tell him.
The stories I've heard about Tony from you are true then.
All of them. Absolutely. And whatever he tells you, not a word. You ask me about it.
I'll do that.
You ask me. Well, we have so much more to cover. That means I get the delight of having you come back again and see us.
Appreciate it.
And I love having you here. It's great to meet you finally. And we have rectified the situation.
Thank you.